Well, hello there. Pull up a chair and thanks for joining me today. I'm going to be mumbling along here. I have a change, and let me see here. Not a big one, a good one. Where is the five or six? Well, long story, but the show I'm going to be recording today will fill in a lot of pieces before I get to the part about these fingers and the chefs, dead chefs, and rituals, and all of that. We need to reel it back a little bit. So, this show will likely be in two segments because I know how many pages it's going to be. So, we should get through it in two segments. So, I renumbered the other ones because here's the deal: parents have been mutilating their own children. Children have been mutilating themselves. All of this transgender stuff, right? Cutting off the penises, cutting off the breasts. Well, how did that all get started? I've talked in kind of vague ideas as far as some of this cast of characters, and I must say that when I put the cast of characters together, it became an absolutely horrifying picture. And that was just a cast of characters from the last 50 years or so. So how'd this thing all get started? Well, actually, it got started with the Catholic Church. I've talked in the past about all those stolen children, right? Were they stolen? Or did these Catholic priests convince these parents that in order for their children to be the chosen ones, perhaps having a body modification, also known as mutilation, might get them ahead in life? And they started off with things like the castrati, basically neutering the boys to keep that singing voice. So this has been going on for a very long time. So it kind of falls into pieces because all those Catholic priests, Roman Catholic priests that were sent over here as known pedophiles. What do you think the odds are that they were the ones who convinced a lot of parents to transgender their own children? That would give us all the people that we're surrounded by, the people running the newscasts and things like that, the people on social media. Where did all these extra transgender people come from? Well, they came from their own parents wanting to give their children a leg up. So it happened in the past with these castrati children. They basically came from poor families. The families were convinced that by doing this horrible procedure to their own child, that the family would grow in wealth and stature. So where does this all sound like? Well, to me, it sounds like right here, right now, right? These kids now, instead of becoming castrati singers, they are becoming social media stars, right? So it's a very, very fascinating story. And looking at there's only a few characters here who have been driving this entire thing to transgender the children. And I gotta tell you, there's a couple of them that no one's talking about, and most of them, most people don't know how they connect, but I do because I've been following these freaks for years. So I'm going to be sharing with you. I never really looked myself at all four of them as a group. And actually, I'm a bit horrified, okay? The utter evil coming from these very few people that set up all these things. Because, for example, I've talked in the past about Kinsey. Albert Kinsey wrote that couple books about sexuality. He got the information from known pedophiles. What does that do? Well, people that have some of those interests would read one of his books about sexuality, right? And this became like the gold standard. So then what happens? Well, they go out and start abusing children because they read about it in a book by these so-called intellectuals, right? It was all funded by them. So these books by these intellectuals talking about sex opened the floodgates, this is my opinion, to a lot of people committing a lot of horrific acts against children. And then it becomes sanctioned to a degree because once you do your sin, not you or me, but once a person were to do this sin that they find out about in this book, it all appears like, well, that's okay, because now I'm going to go confess my sin to this priest who's going to say, well, yeah, okay, you're absolved from this horrible deed that you did to children. So see how this whole thing came full circle. And interestingly enough, not that long ago that this whole ball got rolling. So some of these things I might have talked about just in passing reference, but I must say, I'm quite alarmed myself at taking a closer look. So pull up a chair and let's take a look. But before I get started, always look for carve-outs. By carve-outs, I mean all this business about the minimum wage. Well, one company isn't going to be hit with that requirement, and that would be Panera Bread. Panera Bread is a restaurant chain here in the United States. Well, they did a carve-out, meaning that since they bake bread in their facility, they don't have to go by the same rules as, let's say, McDonald's or the other places. But so always look for things they carve out for their friends. So now people are saying, well, the people at Panera are saying, well, that's not really how it happened. Well, yes, it was how it happened, because your legal people hooked this whole thing up. But before we get all excited about that, instead of even spending 5 more minutes, just stop dealing with them, right? Just stop buying Kellogg's cereal. Stop going to Panera. Easy, simple. But remember, Panera, what does that mean? Pan, P-A-N, P-A-N. I talked about this ad nauseum. They're Pan God, the freak with the horns. That goat-like creature you see all over the place. That people, oh, look, the old Illuminati and those goats. Well, they never explain to you what those goats mean. Well, that goat named Pan, P-A-N, is quite a vicious little thing. Go look for yourself. Okay, so another thing, you know, I just got an announcement from my gas company. I'm in Nebraska, Norfolk, Nebraska. Tune in from Norfolk, Nebraska. Today is cool and not that cold. So I'm sitting here with my air conditioner on. I'd like to give a big wave out to Norfolk, Virginia, home of some of my favorite people. Who's in Norfolk, Virginia? Well, NATO. I put a link to NATO down below because it turns out that NATO is claiming that they're in charge now of the undersea cables. But I find their little video they did on their NATO new YouTube channel to be rather vague as far as what is the role of NATO in monitoring these undersea cables. But yeah, big shout out to NATO over there in Norfolk, Virginia, along with our friends at the CIA and our friends at DARPA. They used to go by the name ARPA. They're the ones who set up these scams. They're the ones who run the internet. They help your favorite people. They probably have a screening room. And I'll be talking more about this later, because people seem to think that social media is something new. For example, in the old days, we had TV shows, right? TV shows were about different things, different family shows, different things, right? What do you have on social media? People playing roles themselves. They're playing and acting like they're living in vans, for example, this glamorous van life they're trying to promote. Well, unless you have a lot of money, living in a van may become a necessity for a lot of us, but making it glamorous by these people is a thumb in the eye kind of thing, right? Because they want us living in vans, right? So anyhow, so what? I don't know where I was going with that one, thanks to radiation. So anyway, so I get this announcement from my gas company, and they are asking me to put money into some account for my carbon footprint. These freaks never give up. That's why now they're pushing all this hatred toward landlords and stuff. They want everybody to hate everybody else. I say hate is no bueno for any of us. Keep your energy blocked. Keep that hateful energy from coming in your direction. Now, unfortunately, thanks to the friends at DARPA and the CIA and NATO over there in Norfolk, Virginia, hello there. I, unfortunately, am limping along because they became so angry a few months ago and not being able to murder me quick enough that my home is now so surrounded with utility poles, transformers, that I feel like I'm just buzzed, okay? So I'll be here in my room for the rest of this show talking about these things. I think I will be able to talk about this and get it done halfway through because this is extraordinary, okay, what's going on. And all the pieces I have today pull it together. Like, why all this penis business? Interesting that the Larry Finks of the world do not have a penis, okay? He is a woman, transgender to be a man. So I have for a long time been rather fascinated by all of these phallic symbols all over the place, right? Right there in Washington, D.C., the place that runs this whole war effort, right? Washington, D.C., the Vatican, and City of London, they're all cities within cities, right? They all have those phallic symbols within those cities. What exactly is all of this about? Why would all of these dickless wonders, and that's what I call them, men without penises, why would they worship all of these penis symbols? And I think I have the answers. Also, all that business about them originating out of Israel, and then according to their own DNA, they're actually grown from a group of 350 people through incest. I have that connection too. They were actually, at least according to this story, in Israel, but the incest thing keeps coming up again, right? So I'll be getting more into that. But before I go there, this week, at least 107 people were killed, 760 wounded. Hamas issued a statement saying Israeli forces, indifferent to the consequences of the terrorist actions due to the cover and complicity of the administration of U.S. President Biden, targeted a gathering of thousands of citizens awaiting food aid in Gaza City, where the United Nations has warned of an unprecedented hunger crisis amid the Israeli siege. Well, that's a mouthful, but what I'd like to say is this. This is how cowards operate. Psychopaths are, in fact, cowards. They shoot people in the back. They shoot them when they're starving, when they're waiting for food, when they can't defend themselves. That defines a coward. Their side is loaded with cowards. So they talk big, they scream a lot, but beneath it all, they are cowards. These are people that cannot even take people giving them downvotes on social media. They removed the downvotes on social media a few years ago because cowards don't want anybody talking about them. So anyway, then also, I looked up Uranus. Uranus, that word, Uranus, right? Because of all of this talk of sodomy. I think there's something there, but I'll be talking more about that because, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to be talking about that now. Okay, let me see here. Uranus, the sky personified as a god and father of the Titans in Greek mythology. The planet seventh in order from the sun. Ether became the immortal husband of Mother Earth. Ether, incidentally, represents the sun or the light, and daytime being a star planet most conducive to light in the solar system, often referred to as the morning star. So the one in the daytime is often referred to as the morning star and the purest upper air in the sky on Earth. Uranus was a son and never a husband of Mother Earth or Gaia, as mating with Uranus would surely have been the chemical, physical, and spiritual death to her planet and system. Uranus, a seventh child who was extremely jealous of his father, Aether, contrived their murders as demonic sacrifices to the underworld. His parents had discovered Uranus had sexual relations engaging in incest, rape, and bestiality. He was later born in other incarnations as half-goat and half-man due to his sexual fusions. This is why animals become afraid of humans, as he later was the first to invent the bow and arrow and was the first to kill a red deer or elk, also engaging in cannibalism and blood sacrifice of the innocent. So Uranus is starting to sound like these people, right? And who always talks about killing elk? Well, Joe Rogan is always talking about killing and eating elk. So that's where that comes from. So they said Uranus had sexual relations engaging in incest, rape, and bestiality. He was later born in other incarnations as half-goat and half-man due to his sexual fusions. This is why animals become afraid of humans, as he later was the first to invent the bow and arrow and was the first to kill a red deer or elk, also engaging in cannibalism and blood sacrifice of the innocent. To this day, in satanic cults, Uranus is considered, I'm having a hard time not laughing when I say this, okay? But also keep in mind that because of all the electricity in the air, I have a hard time speaking. Like, I used to be able to have the microphone, like, about, oh, I don't know, across a room from me, and you could understand me fine. But now the microphone is so close to my face that in the past, when I would just be kind of laughing to myself, you might not have noticed because the microphone was so far away. So now with the microphone so close, it's very hard to say these words without laughing. So you have to wonder, they picked these names, right? And all this stuff about sodomy is about the anus, right? So there's something here and we need to keep plodding along here, right? To this day, in satanic cults, Uranus is considered Satan, the fallen angel from heaven and patron murder of parents. In order to stop Uranus from corrupting, molesting, raping, and committing incest, yet to save his life, Aether castrated Uranus, leaving him impotent for eternity. So Aether, A-E-T-H-E-R, who's the father of Uranus, castrated him to stop him from corrupting, molesting, raping, and committing incest. Okay, so Uranus or Satan's destiny lie in the book of Revelations in the Bible, where Jesus returns to earth, reincarnated to destroy this devil murderer for all eternity. The beheading of Satan by Aether or Jesus ends millennia of conflict on earth and centuries of interference by Greek and Roman and underworld entities, where the Greek, Roman, and British empires are defeated and disappear for eternity. Peace and restoration are returned to the earth and universe as a result. So yeah, this sounds like what's going on right now. So this Satan's destiny, or Uranus, lies in the book of Revelation. So Jesus returns, reincarnated, I guess, knocks his head off or something, right? Like every major planet in our solar system, Uranus is named for a god of ancient Rome and Greece. However, although Uranus follows suit, it's a notable standout in some ways too. It's the only planet that uses the Greek name of a deity, while all the others, except Earth, are named after the Roman versions. Most of those Roman planet names are immediately recognizable to anyone with a grade school familiarity with classical myths. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, or even little Pluto. On the other hand, Uranus is more obscure. Astronomer William Herschel discovered our solar system's seventh planet in 1781. It was up to Herschel to name his discovery, but it took a couple of years for anything to stick. Herschel wanted to name the newly discovered planet for his patron, King George III of England. It might have made a good morale boost for George, who at the time was in the throes of mental and physical illness and had just lost his American colonies. A planet might not have been a bad consolation prize. But nobody outside England liked the idea of naming an entire planet for an English king. The quite understandable international response to Herschel's proposal underscores why the International Astronomical Union has naming guidelines for stars and planets today. A Swedish astronomer suggested Neptune, which of course got used later on a different and equally overlooked by science missions since 1986, Ice Giant. But the eventual winner was a suggestion from a German astronomer named John Bode, B-O-D-E, who had also figured out Uranus' orbit while everyone else was debating the George versus Neptune issue. So we have John Bode to thank for the headlines like Uranus smells like farts and for the fact that NASA will hopefully probe Uranus sometime in the next decade or so. So, okay, and then this is all about the sun worship, right? As the sun radiates life and light throughout the solar system, so the phallus radiates life and light upon Earth, and similarly subserves a power greater than itself. For as the sun is a reflection of Sirius, so is the phallus the vehicle of the will of the magus. As the sun radiates life, the phallus radiates life and light upon Earth. So what is this will of magus? M-A-G-U-S. Magus. Magus is an interesting word. It is actually, magus, 3 score and 10, let me see, magus is the seal of, it's a magic, it has to do with magic. But before I get there, let me read this, otherwise if I go past it, I'll forget it. Crowley made between Satan, excuse me, another link Crowley made between Satan and the sun in his assertion that 666, the colloquial number of the beast, is also the number of the sun. So this 666 is the number of magic, the seal of his servant, the beast. They say in the preceding aeon, aeon, which is that of Osiris, Set or Satan was regarded as evil because the nature of desire was misunderstood. It was identified with the devil and with moral evil. Called evil to conceal its holiness is the desire that prompts man to know. So, yeah, I think they, well, this is really a word game, okay? I'm going to keep scrolling along here. Sun or Set means black. Set is black or red, interchangeable symbols in the mysteries. Remember, they're all wearing those red hats and stuff, right? The term magus has several meanings. A magus in ancient times referred to a member of a hereditary priestly class among the ancient Medes and Persians. It was also used to describe one of the traditionally three wise men from the East who paid homage to the infant Jesus. In a more general sense, a magus can be synonymous with a magician or sorcerer. Other terms, charmer, conjurer. Okay, so that we get that, Buddhist, which. They say these magus are also priests, right? And these three holy men. And also the daytime being the star, right? And then I was looking up the ancient Roman circus, and I have information about that. The ancient Roman circus, like so many public activities in America, was based upon the occult. The circus had seven circuits and had a pyramid in the center with three altars, one to Saturn, one to Jove, and one to Mars. And this whole thing is about the ancient Romans were worshiping multiple gods, right? As a, to say that whoever our creator was wasn't good enough. So that's why they got into the business of making over bodies also, right? And that's how they got to be the chosen ones. And all this stuff, when you start to look yourself, what you'll find is that some of these places you'll be reading from will be astrology sites. So, but the Babylonians referred to Saturn as the star of the sun. Now, there's a lot of things that I'm not going to necessarily have an answer for. I'm just trying to share with you where I am right now. I ran across a very, very interesting piece, and I believe this is what we're looking for. This group called Rex Deuce, REX, second word Deuce, DEUS. That means, in Latin, it means God Kings. There are a group of European aristocratic families allegedly descended from the family lines of the 24 high priests of the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. The Babylonian Talmud justifies any and all evil against all non-Jews. It claims they have the right and obligation to destroy the non-Jewish Edomites. What they really are talking about are really the Romans, right? That anybody who's not one of them or the chosen ones, right? The great irony here is that they themselves do not have their origins with those original Hebrews, but the Babylonian Redites and the Turkish Mongols. So yeah, they say a lot of things. Let me scan down here. They refer to European and Western civilizations as Edomites and Edom, Edom. And 2,000 years of inbreeding has completely removed them from that original Hebrews bloodline. So it is completely ironic that when they call for the destruction of the Edomites, they should include themselves as being Edomites as well. And I'll go on to read. I have no doubt that many of these ancient royal bloodlines do, in fact, yet have much of this serpent blood. But the vast majority of the Jews are, in fact, Edomites themselves. The Knights Templar were a religious military order that were established during the time of the Crusades and said to have attained esoteric alchemic knowledge during their time in Jerusalem. What were their true origins and relationship to the temple in the Holy Land, which their name was derived from? What were their occult beliefs, and what was their impact on secret societies that allegedly succeeded them? Supposedly, it's this Rex Deus, or God Kings. Saturn was regarded by all mankind as the supreme god and ruler of the kings. Occult researchers affirm that Saturn ruled the kingdom of Atlantis and became the divine ancestor of all earthly patriarchs and kings. The cult has been perpetuated through numerous gods to antiquity. And then they get into this business with Atlantis. Now, I am not saying that any of this is true. Keep in mind that the Bible is, in fact, their movie script. Now, was all this stuff going along before these people took over? Could be. But they definitely took over a couple hundred years ago. I'll keep reading. Occult researchers affirm that Saturn ruled the kingdom of Atlantis and became the divine ancestor of all earthly patriarchs and kings. The cult has been perpetuated through numerous gods through antiquity. Cronos, or Saturn, Atlas, Hercules, were all connected with a great Saturnarian continent. They were kings that ruled other countries on the western shores of the Mediterranean, Africa, and Spain. Many Jews and Christians have been deceived by Jewish Kabbalists who would have them believe that the six-pointed star is a Jewish symbol. Nothing can be further from the truth. It is not a Jewish symbol, but an occult symbol. I did a whole show about this previously, but I'll keep reading. The six-pointed star is a hexagram, a curse mark, a no matter what name it may have. The Star of David, Solomon's seal, double triangle, shield of David, etc. When the occult practitioner puts a curse on someone, he uses a hexagram. So, be careful. I believe hexes are true. That's why I encourage you to block your energy. Obviously, I have a lot of people that are not fans of mine, right? So I have my energy pretty well blocked. I can do tests and I can tell that it's blocked, because otherwise, if you don't block that energy, it could be rather crippling to have all of these negative things being shot your way. The six-pointed star is not a Jewish symbol, but an Egyptian symbol, which Israel adopted in the wilderness due to their, you know, just grabbing onto that land, right? So, they have all this stuff. I'm going to scan past here. I don't know. And also remember, sheriff, you know, sheriff the cop in the Egyptian. Ancient Egyptian was a lawgiver, and his badge was always a six-pointed star, which is a symbol of Saturn. U.S. sheriffs in the Wild West up until today still wear a six-pointed star. Saturn is the sixth planet from the sun. Saturn is the sixth day of the week, known as Saturday. And now NASA is receiving images of the Saturn hexagram, six-sided atmospheric formation at Saturn's poles. The sixth chakra of the human energy system is the third pineal gland. When your third eye chakra opens, you develop your sixth sense of intuition and spirituality. And this is where you need to be careful because Saturn, those angels, all of those new age people. Remember, I spent several years living in Sedona, home of the new age freaks. They believe that you want to call for your higher angels, right? What are they telling you to do? They're calling for you. They're telling you to invite evil into your world because angels, the halo around angels, Saturn has a halo, right? Angels have halos. Saturn is named after the Roman god Saturn. The Roman god, it's Saturnus. It is not a coincidence that Saturn is called the Lord of the Rings. If Lord equals God, then is it possible that during a wedding ceremony, we are giving our energy to Saturn through the exchange of rings? Is it a coincidence that most people get married on a Saturday? It is also more costly to marry on Saturday. So we also give away the energy of money to the Saturn cult. This is why today, when you get married before God. And the symbol of that God is the ring that is put on each other's fingers. The ring of Saturn, in the marriage phrases, one also begins to see what that has to do with Saturn. So when you get married with a ring, and the symbol of that God is the ring of Saturn. You're wearing God's ring. And the yarmulke was the round ring that you wear on your head for the Saturn, your God. Even in the Middle Ages, in the temples, Catholic monks would shave their heads in a round circle. And the Hebrews, instead of doing that, would wear a yarmulke. But it all had to do with the round rings of Saturn. The ancient name of Saturn was, as mentioned, El, E-L. It is the reason why those that were chosen by El were called elites. In fact, the words elect, elder, elevated, Elohim, temple, circle, gospel, apostle, disciple, evangelist, etc., all derived from the cult of El. Angels are messengers of God, but God was El, the God they're talking about, right? Which is why we have the names of the archangels bearing the El suffix, like Raphael, Michael, Uriel, Gabriel. The plural term Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, appears over 2,500 times in the Old Testament, but is falsely translated in most versions. This fact of plurality explains why in Genesis, God's, G-O-D-S, said, "Let us make man in our image." As stated, Elohim refers to both gods and goddesses, and its singular form, El, served as a prefix or suffix to names of gods, people, and places. Even Satan was one of the Elohim. And so, everything is coded. The gods of Elohim are used the angels, the messengers of God. When witches cast a spell, they put the hex on someone. And when chefs deep fry something, they deep six it. It is the elites who run the world today. Elite comes from the Israel, which came from the Egyptian worship of the moon, which is Isis, the sun, which is Ra, and Saturn, which is Elohim. Hence is Ra-El. So Egypt worship, they have the moon is Isis, the sun is Ra, R-A, and Saturn is L-O-M, E-L-O-H-I-M. And that's where you get Israel, Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L. In Islamic tradition, the rock is where Muhammad ascended to heaven, accompanied by the angel Gabriel. Okay, the dome's outer, Saturn is an important key to understanding the long heritage this conspiracy has back to antiquity. The city of Rome was originally known as Saturni, S-A-T-U-R-N-I-A, or City of Saturn. The Roman Catholic Church retains much of the Saturn worship in its ritual. Saturn also relates to Lucifer. In various occult dictionaries, Saturn is associated with evil. Saturn was important to the religion of Mirtha and also the Druids. Okay, so Rome was known to the Romans as Saturni, S-A-T-U-R-N-I-A, not Rome, and Saturn was just one of their gods, okay? Black is both Saturn's color and Satan's color. The Black Holy Bible tells us Satan is 666. Saturn is the sixth planet. Its symbol is a six-pointed star. It supposedly has hexagon weather formations, and Saturn day is the sixth day. Saturn is the foundation of the solar temple. The 10 tribes of the Israelites fell into the ritual sacrifices of Moloch, that is the Saturn worship and sacrifice, which brought them their judgment of Adrian capacity. Now, I don't know about this. This is the Circus Maximus. I'm trying to think here. The Circus Maximus was very important because it was where they would marry and do all the stuff in the center, right? But it was where they first raped this woman, and I don't know. The Roman state had now become so strong that it was a match for any of its neighbors in war, but its greatness threatened to last for only one generation since they had no women. They had no hope of children and no right to intermarry with their neighbors. Yeah, I don't know why I was looking at this, but what they did was they started stealing women then. They had this big thing, and then they just... there's this person called Romulus. He wanted to find a time for the right occasion, so he hid his concern and prepared to celebrate the Consuelo, the solemn games in honor of equestrian Neptune. He then ordered that the spectacle be announced to the neighboring peoples. He gave the event great publicity by the most lavish means possible in those days. Many people came, the entire Sabine population came, wives and children included. They marveled that Rome had grown so fast. When it was time for the show and everybody was concentrating on this, a prearranged signal was given, and all the Roman youths began to grab the women. Many just snatched the nearest woman to hand, but the most beautiful had already been reserved for the senators, and those were escorted to the senators' houses by plebeians who had been given this assignment. And this was the first case I could find of them stealing stealing people, right? They seem to be pretty big about stealing us, right? And then I came across, you know, we have in the United States, we have a American class system. The upper class, they keep all the money and pay none of the taxes. The middle class, they pay all the taxes and do all the work. The poor, they're just there to scare the middle class. Because right now, people are losing their homes over rising insurance. Who controls that? Real estate commissions have been in the dumper. Well, who controls that, right? Since we now know that these sodomites are trying to add to their bottom line, right? Well, if you were going to be buying up all the rest of the homes in the US marketplace, because they're out to buy all the homes, right? Best way to control is to own all the homes. Well, if they own all the homes and that's their plan, right? Well, if you get rid of the real estate agents, regardless of whether you think they were making crooked commission deals or not, let's say you get rid of the agents, which they're doing right now. And if you can gain, if you're BlackRock and you're gonna be buying up all the houses in this country, along with your friends like Warren Buffett and stuff, that 3 to 5% that you would save by getting rid of all the insurance agents would be a big win, right? So how do you get your hands on all those homes? Well, you and your friends who run the insurance agencies have now doubled insurance rates for most American homes. So most people soon will not be able to pay for their home and their insurance. So when they go to buy your home, because they escalated the cost of your insurance, which they also benefit from, that extra percentage points they gain by not having real estate agents gives them a whole lot of money, right? Because right now, if you think your landlord is bad, wait until somebody like Larry Fink is your landlord, right? Because Warren Buffett, they're all dumping their shares right now, all of them. They're all dumping their shares. Warren Buffett is sitting on a $168 billion cash pile that people know of, right? And they always want to argue that it's complicated. No, it's not complicated. Just learn to look, right? So all of this ends up being crimes of Silicon Valley now, doesn't it? Just funny how that works out. They always tell us to do things like, oh, Airbnb, great idea, right? What's everybody selling right now? Well, Airbnb houses they couldn't make money on. They come up with these ideas and they're always cheap to start with. Like, oh, I don't know. What about Uber and Lyft? They started off really cheap. Now they're really expensive. And I don't know why I had this in the middle of this thing, but there's one scam you want to look for now. It's called the pig butchering scam. It sounded to me like social media. So it's called pig butchery. That's what they think of us. They think we're actually pigs. So I had this thing here, the Great Cash Out. Jeff Bezos, Jamie Dimon, and the Walton family have now sold a combined $11 billion in company stock just this month, some for the first time ever. I think they have these rituals to get their godhood. In other words, they hold these rituals amongst themselves. Because I think their goal is if you get enough money, then possibly you get to be one of these gods they all want, right? So I think the reason they're hoarding all this money and fame is they want to think that they're going to be future gods. And I'm going to be talking about some strange things today. Yunks, Eunuchs. What are yunks? Well, Yunks are people, they have transformed their bodies. I find it fascinating that the fake men we have in charge, all of the men on the screen, if they're on the screen, they're likely on the team, okay? The men are the one without the penises. I find it fascinating that the fake men without a penis are the ones obsessed with these phallic symbols, and they seem to yearn for a time when eunuchs served. Eunuchs were something people who were castrated to serve royal people. Where do we think we're going next? Well, I think they want to create a eunuch breed, and they also want to have women just be breeders. They have been calling women breeders for a while now. They are trying to return us to what they said happened in the past. Did it happen in the past? Well, they wrote about it now, didn't they? So they are talking about women as breeders and these eunuch things. Where does all of this stuff come from? Well, these Romans, they're the ones who came up with the money, right? Everybody now wants money and fame. They came up with the sins. They came up with a way to absolve the sins. They came up with the canon laws. They set things up that these crimes could go away by a priest saying you're absolved of your crime. They set up the courts to rule with the new laws. They took over supervising the family by guiding them, putting themselves in the ultimate power seat. People look to them as the guider of the family. It is a dual world. 100% they are there for the destruction of the family, not to guide the family. What I wonder about is how did this even happen? These people don't even appear to me to be that smart. They have evil written on their forehead. So how do they take charge? Well, wait until I get to the people who they put to manipulate all of this. You're going to be pretty surprised, I think. Actually, they are still what I've talked about all along. They are gypsies, tramps, and they are thieves. Keep that thought in your mind today, okay? Gypsies, tramps, and thieves is who they are. Why do nuns wear wedding dresses and wedding rings? They're taking all the boundaries away from actual marriages by playing married and being in charge of controlling married couples and their children as a servant of some god, right? Why are they doing this? Because they have morphed themselves smack into the center of our lives, right? And what better way to do it than wear these robes and those crazy hats, right? So, yeah, and I was just flabbergasted when I saw these orders of nuns. Some of them actually have actual wedding ceremonies when they become nuns. And behind all of this stuff is just really rape and incest, right? They're all leading to parents willing to transgender their own children for the status of being the chosen ones. There must be a certain level of masochism to see parents mutilate their own children and to see children willing to mutilate themselves. They get these kids to think they're trans, and then next thing you know, they're in a surgeon's office somewhere, right? Most of these kids are autistic. Where are all the parents? Where are all these transgender kids coming from? I have some news for you. It has all been part of the plot that actually started with these castrati kids. Because I've been saying for a long time, if you look around on the news and stuff, your local newscaster is likely transgender. Where did that person come from? Well, that's why right now on social media, there's all this stuff about transvestigations. What are they focusing on? They're focusing on the celebrities. If they focus on just the celebrities, you won't get the idea in your head that you are, in fact, surrounded by people who were, in fact, transgendered by their own families. All of those Irish Catholic priests working with local doctors got to these parents. How did it all work? Well, in the 90s, we had the Communications Act of 1996. It was the first major overhaul of United States telecommunications law in nearly 60 years, amending the Communications Act of 1934. It was signed into law 1996 by Bill Clinton. So that's how we got these communications boiled down to just a few companies. So I suspect at that time, also some requirements for who would be on the screen would be coming about, right? If you're controlling all of these news people by just a few agencies, wouldn't it make hiring a lot easier? Because you're looking for a type, right? Because I kept wondering, how did all the local news people also get transgender newscasters, right? Well, you narrow it down, you have better control over things, right? So there was a book out in 2003 named the act as a significant factor in the loss of alternative and community media and possibly the loss of public control of information. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 enabled the handful of corporations dominating the airwaves to expand their power further. Mergers enabled tighter control of information. The Latin American writer said, "Never have so many been held incommunicado by so few." So I think it is all set up by some sort of agency construct. For example, I've run across a lot of people on YouTube that are doing different things, like maybe saying, oh, I'm really against transgender stuff and I'm a feminist, right? And then they start a channel. Well, quite a few of these people tend to be, they've said themselves that they were actors in the past, right? How hard would it be to get the word out to acting agencies? Hey, in these hard times with TV cutting back and movies not doing that well, we can figure out a way to get your people making money, get them on social media, get them to play a role, get them to get a channel. We will offer financing to get them started. And then once you get started, if you're personable and you start to gain a big audience, well, then all of a sudden these people seem to be writing books. They seem to be having staffing. They seem to be showing up and doing all kinds of other things. And trust me, for an old lady, I know a lot about what's going on social media, okay? I say this with confidence. Most of these people are not that smart. They are not writing their own books. They are not doing all that stuff. Basically, they are going from one podcast to the next podcast to the next YouTube show. That is what they do all day long because that is how they're making money, by controlling your time and getting you to watch them on a screen. It may not be the big TV screen we had as kids, but it is a screen, right? So they are coming up with acts. I watch the most hysterical show about all these fake people who say that they're living off the grid. I swear, most of these people likely have big, rich homes up on the hill. They have a shack down the hill, and that's where they film from. This is not complicated stuff. The majority of them are liars. They have staff, they have scheduling, and they just basically show up. They put on fancy clothes. What do these other people do? Well, the priests put on fancy robes, doctors put on fancy white coats. We're really in an actor-based reality, and all of these losers are really hiding in plain sight, right? But they put up all these gowns and stuff that they wear. So where am I here? Let me see. Okay. I'm going to have to take a break, and because I'm just getting to the part about all this stuff that I've only talked about in bits and pieces, but I got to tell you, looking at it with one big view is a, well, it's a pretty crazy thing, okay? Because who do we have in this? We have the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, also known as WPATH, W-P-A-T-H. What happens is this. They set up this group, right? And then no one does any studies. So because this group exists, all they have to say is, well, according to WPATH, they have decided this and that. Well, who decides that WPATH is the group that should be doing all this? Well, of course they do, right? And so we have a group of characters here that I'm going to be connecting. There's a man named Harry Benjamin. We have another person called John Money. And we have another person, let me see here, called, let me scroll down here, because I don't want to get these characters, because all of them connect. Okay, so we have Harry Benjamin. We have John Money. We have a character called John Money, Harry Benjamin, and Kenzie. Kenzie's another one. So there's only four of them, three of them. John Money, Kenzie, and so that's who they are. Okay, I think I got them all. So there's just three of them, okay? And this is where it gets, I'm talking absolutely insane, okay? Absolutely insane. So these are the names. Oh, shoot. And looking for the names, I just scrolled past where I was. Okay, these are the names that I'm going to be looking for, okay? And unfortunately, when I was compiling the information, I kind of got intermingled a little bit. But okay, so how did this all start? Okay, so let's start over here. Harry Benjamin, okay? Because I've said in the past, I said, oh, Harry Benjamin connected with Albert Kenzie, but I never really explained exactly why. And, pretty crazy story. So let me see here. Okay. The World Professional Association for Transgender Health, or WPATH, formerly the Harry Benjamin International Gender Dysphoria Association, is a professional organization devoted to the understanding and treatment of gender identity and gender dysphoria and creating standardized treatment for transgender and gender variant people. WPATH was founded in September 1979 by endocrinologist and sexologist Harry Benjamin, with the goal of creating an international community of professionals specializing in treating gender variance. And what I found, just where my head about came off the top of my skull, was their influence on all this gay business, right? So, in 1979, the Harry Benjamin International Gender Dysphoria Association was formed using Benjamin's name by permission. The group consists of therapists and psychologists who devised a standards of care for the treatment of gender dysphoria, largely based on Benjamin's cases and studies. It later changed its name to World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH. So how it all started was just kind of insane, right? Harry Benjamin, let me see here. Harry Benjamin started having these meetings. And he met monthly with John Money and Richard Green, and the idea was raised of applying the kind of surgery being done on intersex patients to transsexuals as well. Because all along, and I'll be getting into that in a bit here, they've been doing the castrati thing for the children and stuff, right? So this really, to me, is an ongoing thing based on that. And then there's this person called, I don't think we need to know that person. Okay, so let's just stick with these people here. So Benjamin met monthly with John Money and Richard Green. So Money took three post-search operational patients of Harry Benjamin's to meet his colleagues at Johns Hopkins. And this is where it gets insane, okay? John Money, and keep that name in your mind, okay? John Money was a very important person at Johns Hopkins. Johns Hopkins was the first into the transgender-based surgeries because of this person, John Money. John Hopkins later, supposedly, because of some psychiatrist, decided to get out of the transgender business. And here again, probably something tragic or horrible was happening, right? So they got out of the transgender business early on, and then they recently got back into it. But they were the first ones into it. And they got into it with his character name, John Money, okay? As the gender identity clinic there began to coalesce, it was integrated into the work of the foundation, which provided them with patient referrals. And this person, Reed, started donating money to John Money, and then first went to John Hopkins for a double mastectomy repair in 1965. The Harry Benjamin Foundation similarly endorsed the gender clinic at Stanford University. And I've talked about Stanford in the past. The founders of Stanford University were founded on the basic of eugenics. They all were. The Minnesota Medical School in Minneapolis was considering opening a gender identity clinic. And then two members went to New York, and then they decided to go to John Hopkins to observe transgender. And just out of the air, they come up with this stuff, right? So Harry Benjamin, he came up with a book called The Transsexual Phenomenon, came out in 1966. And it got a positive review in the Journal of Sex Research. Why were they researching sex with us? Well, because they're freaks, right? They had to research this because they do not, they don't know who we are. And these people are neutered themselves, right? So so he comes out with that book, The Transsexual Phenomena, the first one, and was the first sexual change operation at the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. He also witnesses other surgery. Okay. The Harry Benjamin Foundation presented 8 separate papers at a meeting at the prestigious New York Academy of Sciences on January the 16th, 1967, mainly considering etiology based on pre and post examinations of Benjamin's own patients. So yeah, so right then, they're starting to present a few papers that appear pretty sketchy to me, right? Based on a few patients they had and act like, oh yeah, this is it. We got it covered, right? So Benjamin and Erickson, who had been having disputes, sometimes quite petty, about how the money was spent. So then they reduced the money. Okay. And they, okay, let me see here. So then we have John Money, John William Money, born July 1921, died July 2006, was a New Zealand American psychologist, sexologist, and professor at Johns Hopkins University, known for his research on human sexual behavior and gender. Believing that gender identity was malleable within the first 2 years of life, Money advocated the surgical normalization of the genitalia of intersex infants. Money introduced new terminology in sex research, coining the terms gender role and sexual orientation. Despite widespread popular belief, Money did not coin gender identity. Money believed in drug treatment for sex offenders to extinguish their sex drives. Since the 1990s, Money's work and research has been subject to significant academic and public scrutiny. Yeah, they have really been distancing themselves for a lot of good reasons from John Money. What happened was this, and I'm just going to give you an overview, and I would hope that you would go look for yourself. It is a absolutely, positively mind-boggling, horrific case of these two children. what he did. So let me get back here a second here. A 1997 academic study criticized Money's work. This is 1997, okay? Right now, we're in 2024. Not that long ago, they finally started criticizing him, right? Particularly, he was criticized in regard to the involuntary sex assignment of the child David Reimer. R-E-I-M-E-R. Be fair warned, it is a horrific story. Money allegedly coerced David and his brother, Brian, to perform sexual acts on each other, and Money photographed them. So one brother committed suicide, and his other brother died of an overdose at the age of 36. Money believed that transgender people had an idea fix and established the John Hopkins Gender Identity Clinic in 1965. See, I never was really sure when I talked about John Hopkins closing down. They said it was because some psychiatrist said this is a bad idea. I think now, likely, I don't know this for a fact, but probably something happened with this John Money person and they needed to distance from him. You'll see more in a minute here. So let me see here. So Money believed that transgender people, he screened adult patients for 2 years prior to granting them a medical transition and believed sex roles should be de-stereotyped so that masculine women would be less likely to desire transition. Money is generally viewed as a negative feature by the transgender community. Money's writings have been translated into many languages and includes over 2,000 articles, books, chapters, and reviews. He received around 65 honors, awards, and degrees in his lifetime. By the mid-1960s, Money's interest had turned to transsexualism and the possibility of surgical treatment. Between 1964 and 1967, he was part of a research team led by Harry Benjamin, Ruth Ray Dorbar, Richard Green, Harry Guzet, and these other people, whose study of transsexualism was funded by the Erickson Educational Foundation. John Mooney was one of the chief poster boys and heroes of the transgender movement. Although educated in psychology and not a physician, see, this is interesting. He was a psychologist, not a physician. So they said he somehow wormed his way into the prestigious endocrinology unit at Johns Hopkins University. Well, yeah, because they just want somebody who's going to do the evil horrors, right? They're not particularly concerned if they have the experience or not. So, then he got somebody from Albert Kinsey's crew. The foundation had been established in 1964 by the wealthy trans man and patient of Benjamin's, a person named Reed Erickson. You're looking for Reed Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. So this trans man, supposedly 1964, gives them the first money. From that endowment, the John Hopkins Gender Identity Clinic was set up in July 1966, as well as the formation of the Harry Benjamin Foundation in 1967. So this all got started by a person named Reed Erickson. Money remained at Johns Hopkins for the duration of his career. And wait until you hear what he did. Supported by numerous grants from organizations and National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. At his clinic, besides slicing and dicing genitalia, Money chimed in on debates about pedophilia, arguing that there is a clinical distinction to be drawn between affectionate pedophilia and sadistic pedophilia, and thus gave ambivalent support to elements of the pro-pedophilia movement. So John Money believed that neutrality at birth theory. He wrote lengthy, perverse diatribes that gave rise to a whole range of Orwellian newspeak and gibberish that has been adopted by the transgender movement. To give only a sample, there was the atom principle, the eccentricity theory, mind brain. Yeah, they just make up these names, don't they? autophilia. This has created quite a money-making medical racket that promotes and enables these gender choices. Little consideration is given to the health and psychological impact of such an assault. Incredibly, this Frankenstein science has been extended to include people who belong to a so-called third gender. And this is why I circle back to this, because I had read not that long ago that WayPath is now promoting EUNCH, the EUNCH. And at the time, I thought, why is WayPath promoting EUNCH? Well, because I think we're coming full circle. I think they envision creating a EUNCH society for their servants. We already have a mutant society, right? Why are all the men in this country so feminized? The women are so masculinized. Fertility rates are off the charts. Why is all this? Because we're getting fed drugs against our will is how it's happening. So out of this little bit of dibble-dabbling around, they became the experts, right? Let me see. So yeah, this third gender is what really got me going here. Okay, so naturally, because these new gender transitions appear to most as unnatural mental illness, trannies experience pushback or discrimination. Thus, in turn, it necessitates the heavy hand of the government to enforce the rule on the understandable conflicts. Yeah, it goes so far as to legislate against traditional gender roles or even dress for the purpose of catering to this group. Everything right now has been flipped on its side because they want us to model their gods. We only have one creator. Well, this is my view, but they're the ones introducing all these gods, and their gods are the ones telling us that sex is just all this mixed up stuff, right? John Money co-edited a 1969 book, Transsexualism and Sex Reassignment, which helped bring more acceptance to sexual reassignment surgery and transsexual individuals. So yeah, that is exactly how they started morphing us down this road. So why is money rarely mentioned by those promoting trans ideology today? You won't find him cited in educational guides. You won't see him quoted in any mermaid documents. And you won't hear the Be Kind Brigade paying tribute to him. The reason for this is simple enough. John Money's work was cruel and amoral and left a trail of misery, pain, and suicide in its work. So what happened with all these people, John Money and Benjamin and them? Well, they became consultants to the Catholic Church over all this business with pedophilia. I kid you not. I wish I was just going to burst out laughing and say, oh, I'm just joking. And that didn't happen that way. Yes. The independent Catholic scholar some years ago wrote, the American church used the so-called experts, who in fact were advocates of pedophilia, to advise the church and to treat the accused priests. So, I am. Let me see here. So, yeah. So these people were the ones who were advising the church during this pedophile thing. Okay. This is going to be sounding crazier and crazier as I go along, but it's true. So it really just took these few people, and let me scroll down here a second, who gave everybody the green light that being gay was okay. All this stuff became okay and became like sanctioned for them, right? So it's quite a story. I think what I'm going to be doing here, I am about halfway through this. I think what I'm going to be doing here is I'm going to be closing off this half here. And because I need to get back with these castrates and these eunuchs. And what are eunuchs? And why do we have eunuchs right now? There are a lot of people who are right now eunuchs because when they're castrated, they get a lower level of testosterone in their body. So I am going to tell you what I think. I think a lot of people may not have been castrated to become eunuchs, but chemically, likely, we have a pretty good body of people who are, in fact, eunuchs and may not even know that they're eunuchs. So I'm going to close this off. I will come back with the next chapter. And I'm 100% sure this is only going to be in two segments, but we really need to understand this eunuch thing because this is the road we're heading down right now. So it has been going on for a very long time, and it is a very, very sad thing going on because remember, people are doing it to their own children, so blinded by money and power, so blinded by it. Really blinded. Society is blinded by money and power. And that is exactly how all of this perversion and all this stuff took wings. And no more money and power than right there hiding in plain sight is that Catholic Church. And in case you're wondering, I am still 1,000 or millions or trillions percent convinced the entire reason for religion was to lead us into this trap. Why did we let them become our advisors? I don't know. My grandparents were not religious, and they seem to have done just fine without some priest showing up and telling them what to do. So why did we get this group of people and put them into so much power? Well, it's because of all this business with the children. So I'm going to close this off. I'll be back with one more segment. Hopefully, I don't know. It's still early here. So I'm going to be signing off from Nebraska, and kind of a weird day today. It's really kind of overcast. We have had the weather was about 1 or 2 degrees. I'm still running the air conditioner. If you want to get ahead of this game, I suggest you get an air conditioner. It really helps the air inside of your house. So yeah, I'll be doing more of that later. I've said it a million times, but I will share what's going on with all this radiation because there's going to come a time that I'll still be around, but likely not in a position to be able to record shows. So what I'm doing right now in the next few days is I'm going to be focusing on those things that even if I don't have the answer to them, they're open questions that I have. And hopefully somebody might dig around a little bit further for themselves. Remember, none of this is real. None of it is real. I really hope you're thinking very carefully because this is, in fact, a big trap. And I think at the end of the trap, giving up your soul for money and power to me would seem like a fairly bad trick. But a lot of people have, and we need to be aware having this conversation of this. Parents thought they were doing the right thing and they agreed to transgender their own child, just like they did with the castrati children. Okay. That was done by their own parents. Now, that must provide for a very difficult position to be in if you were in that position and your parents were the one who did that. And I can't answer any of that. It's nothing for me to answer or to even try to explore. All I can do is to try to communicate what is going on. But if it is the case that you suspect that it possibly happened to you, well, there's a lot of deception going on, okay? And we weren't there at the time that these parents made these decisions. We have all made some pretty bad decisions at times. Do those bad decisions kick us off the game board and send us to a hell of eternity where these people are going? I don't know any of that. All I know is this. We all have a purpose here, every single one of us. My purpose is to record what's going on and to help to define what is evil. So once my role is over, I will likely be leaving the game board, or at least be leaving this portion of it, which means recording my work. So I would encourage you to be thinking carefully. And if it was done to you, you would have come here knowing that in advance. So it may come as a surprise to you what exactly it was that may have happened. But remember, the game board is heading down a road right now. I don't know how much longer this is going to be going on. But I would suggest that cooler heads prevail and deal with the cards that you have in your hand right now. And if flying around and going down some road of hating your parents or something that would happen in the past, you have to ask yourself, is that going to help you accomplish what you came for on the game board? Likely, you knew all of this ahead of time. No one should be surprised, but everybody will be surprised because most people don't understand that this is just a game and this isn't our only life. This is a test for our lives. And those of us who are still on a game board should be very proud of the fact that we've made it this far. It's been an accomplishment. So whenever you start to feel this shame game slipping in because, well, your parents didn't do this or they didn't do that, remember, we all selected this. None of this is being done to us by surprise. We set up this path to navigate our way through this reality we're seeing it as in now, but we made all of these choices in advance. So I would suggest thinking about all that before you jump off onto a tear of feeling like you've been had or something like that. A lot of us ended up being black sheep because of our views and things, and maybe not going along with the tribe that we selected. So the tribe that we selected identified us as, well, I don't know, black sheep, somebody who they couldn't quite identify with. But that does not mean that they hate our guts, okay? Don't turn it into something like that. Try to just sit in silence and find your own answers. You wrote your own script. Stop following everybody else's script. Take a look at your script and see what's on it. We only have a certain amount of time, and we wrote our own scripts just like they wrote their script for how this is going to work. So I would caution you to take any new information that you may find because it happened, and I'm not saying because it happened to a lot of children that it was okay, that it might have happened to somebody else. It happened a lot. That was, in my opinion, the role that all of those priests were going to play to get parents to mutilate their own children. There must be something in it for them to see that happen. And that way they could control and manipulate the family forever, because then they control the parents by that secret, right? So we weren't there. We don't know. But remember, don't let new discoveries throw you off your life path is what I'm just kind of trying to say here. So be safe out there. Goodbye for now. And I'll be back with much more of this Yuke stuff. It's pretty interesting. It is insane. I'm not saying that any of this stuff makes particularly any sense. They have developed themselves into really a freak show. They're the ones saying that they want to make bodies and stuff. Have you seen any of them when they turn 50? They are falling to pieces. So yeah, so they want to be in charge of the body business. And I want to be careful in how I explain this to you, how their past has been to come up with this stuff. I mean, they just have this thing for castration, the penis, and all this stuff that I just find odd, okay? I find all of this stuff just evil, odd, and just not anything a decent person would do. But I believe this group set this thing up Because remember, Kinsey wrote his book during World War II. So when men came back from the war, they would be reading this sexual book by Kinsey, right? What did that unleash? My opinion is it unleashed a lot of darkness. It unleashed a lot of people who then wanted to reincarnate into this life cycle we're in now, because that was what got them into trouble in the last life cycle. So I think that we're surrounded by a lot of very troubled spirits. And I'm talking very troubled spirits. So I'm going to close for now. Be safe out there and goodbye for now. And remember, kindness rules the day.